Let's get you to Andrew Kelleher from JMI Wealth. Good morning, Andrew.
Yep, morning, Mike.
Actually, speaking of the UK election result and the euphoria, you've got some cold, hard reality facts for us this morning.
Yeah, I do, actually. So, yeah, the election result has been and gone, hasn't it? And, you know, you've got champagne corks popping, the Tories are celebrating, but and Labour obviously now are going to go through a bit of a post-mortem as how they, you know, how it all went so wrong for them and how that all that vote got split. But post the election, we've seen quite a strong reaction in the Great British Pound, or prior to the election. If you looked at the pound versus the US dollar, one Great British Pound bought around 1.31 US dollars. Post the election, that spiked up to 1.35. Now, that's quite a significant move. I mean, in currency terms, to go from 1.31 to 1.35 is pretty important. Now, right now, though, it's back to where it was prior to the election. In other words, we've given up all of those gains over the course of this week. The UK benchmark index, the FTSE 100, it's gone up, but it's not at the highs that it has been over the last year. And what's happening, particularly in the currency markets now, Mike, is it's all about certainty, because the concern for financial markets is still, unfortunately, the possibility of a disorderly exit from the EU. I mean, Johnson now has a mandate to get the legislation through the UK Parliament, but, and this has been a consistent theme over the last 3.5 long years that we've been talking about this, people tend to forget the UK is only one party to any agreement to exit the EU. They have to agree something with the EU, and that's not been as straightforward as they thought it had been. Now, Boris is saying that the trade agreement needs to be agreed within 12 months, but the spectre is now being raised of this further deadline pressure and potential for a messy no-deal exit if, in fact, they can't agree over the next 12 months, and if, in fact, Boris won't agree to an extension of the transition. Now, clearly, we don't want to go there. I mean, we don't want to be here this time next year talking about Brexit again and the extensions. Now, S&P, the ratings company, they've actually said they expect the UK will have to seek an extension to this transition. But potentially, we could be here in 12 months' time talking about exactly the same things we've been talking about for the past 3.5 years. And I think that's got markets concerned.
Okay, let's talk interest rates.
Yeah.
What have you got there?
Well, yesterday the government announced legislation that will effectively replace the current Reserve Bank Act, so with a couple of pieces of legislation, so it'll separate out regulation of deposit takers from the other functions. And what this means, including there, is there's a deposit insurance scheme. So if you've got $50,000 with a bank on term deposit, there's going to be a government deposit insurance scheme, and that'll be per institution, so you can spread those around. They've talked about that, but that's quite a significant step. But it raises the question of what's happening with interest rates. I mean, we've all been talking about how low interest rates were. We had that big 50 point basis move down in the official cash rate. But, you know, Mike, in the background, the longer-term interest rates have actually been going up. And if we look at the five-year rate in New Zealand, it got down as low as 0.83%. And that was the expectations of further lows. Well, it's just been creeping up very slowly. It's now at 1.4%. You say, well, 1.4% is still very low, but it's a heck of a long way from the 0.83 that we were at when there was this kind of feeling that, and it's all about the fact that the economic situation is getting better. We're seeing this offshore as well. So yes, interest rates are very low, but in the background, they've just been steadily creeping higher.
Ticking up, that's interesting, yeah. Alrighty, some numbers, Andrew.
Yep, Dow Jones, it's all pretty quiet over there at the moment. Actually, barely no movement at all on the Dow Jones. 28,265, it's down 1 point. The S&P 500, 3,195, up 3. And the NASDAQ, 8,844, which is up 20 at this stage. The FTSE 100 closed at 7,540, up 15. The Nikkei, 23,934, down 131. Shanghai Composite, 3,017, down 5. The ASX 200, they gained 4 yesterday, closing at 6,851. The NZX 50, we gained 69 points, 0.61%, closing at 11,329. On the currencies and the wholesale markets, one New Zealand dollar will buy you 0.6577 US, 0.9595 Aussie, 0.5916 Euro, 0.5027 pounds, 72.07 yen. Gold, fairly steady, trading at $1,475 US dollars. And Brent crude, $66.12.
Fantastic, Andrew. We will see you for the grand finale tomorrow morning. Andrew Callaghan.
Can't wait.
Cheers, man, indeed. From jmiwealth.co.nz.